My recovery date is August 24th, 2015. And I came by that date at the request of my children. They noticed that I had a drinking problem. I guess I did too, but I may have been in denial. I don't know. I've heard a lot that I didn't think I qualified as an alcoholic because I wasn't living on the street. I wasn't drinking out of a brown bag. I hadn't lost my driver's license. I didn't have any court papers. So I really was in denial about that. But the before, during, and after. I was born into a family of dysfunction. Big dysfunction. I was going through some old pictures yesterday, and I came across a letter that my brother had written to me, and he's 13 months younger than me. And oh golly, this was in the 70s that he had written this letter. And he said he had met this girl who he really liked, and she had gotten him off alcohol and drugs. So I really didn't know to what extent he had a problem, but I guess I didn't recognize that at the time as a problem. My mom and dad were both heavy smokers. My dad, I believe, drank like I did. And at some point in his life, he became a non-drinker also. My mom was overweight. I believe she had an eating disorder. So I think that qualifies me as having been predisposed to alcoholism, as some people refer to it as dopamine addict. Because I would just hop on that bandwagon, and I would, you know, when I was drinking, I would drink until I passed out. And I drank for the effect, you know. I was at a party one time, and a person asked me why I drank. And I said, because I'm lonely. Bam, that was it. Growing up, there was a lot of dysfunction. My mom and dad were not together. I chose to live with my grandparents because I felt that that was a safe haven. Recently, I've disclosed to my therapist that there was some sexual innuendos by my grandfather, in that he would make eye contact with me, and then he would look at his genital area. Now, I am going to further that therapy with EMDR therapy, just to kind of get to the bottom of the trauma, because I feel like I've held that in all these years, and that subconsciously, perhaps, I chose to drink to cover up any of that dysfunction that I experienced growing up. And that's what recovery brought me. Recovery has brought me the clarity to understand that I don't have to go through this alone. I can get outside help. But what I got mostly out of recovery is the fact that I come to these rooms and I see that everybody, you know, is experiencing a lot of the same adversity that I did. And I find that very comforting. And I found hope, most of all, in early recovery, in discovering that there were women, especially, that had experienced a lot of these same things growing up as I did. And little by little, I became willing to share any of that adversity. Backing up a little bit, when I did first come into recovery, I came in reluctantly to share at local meetings because my husband of 36 years at that point was a prominent business owner. And I thought, well, you know, how can I really do this and protect his anonymity? Now I realize that, you know, I was protecting everybody else at my own cost. I was covering up my own feelings and masking my own feelings by drinking. I was taking care of everybody else but myself. I was the soccer mom. I got the kids to practice. I got them to skating practice. I was PTO member. You know, I was that mom. But I, over the years, my drinking progressed to the point where it became out of control. And it took me a while. It really wasn't until, you know, I started drinking when I was like, I don't know, 14 or 15. And it really didn't progress until I didn't get to the point of desperation until I was, I don't know, 54, 56, something like that. So I drank for a long time, in denial, but then it got to the point where I couldn't function. And I was taking away from tomorrow's happiness. You know, it took me more than a day to recover from any sort of hangover. And I was blacking out, not remembering what I had done that night. I remember one night where I was with this guy who I left my marriage for. And of course that didn't work out. Got up the next morning and my clothes were on the floor. And I'm like, how did my clothes get on the floor? Because I never did that. I never just left things strewn about. So I don't remember. And that got to be often in my last, I would say 7 to 8 years of drinking. So maybe fast forwarding a little bit to the during. My kids came to visit me one time and they noticed that I wasn't drinking. And they intervened with me and said, Mom, we want you to go away to rehab. We noticed that you cannot drink successfully, but when you do, it's a mess. So I did, and I went to a traditional 12-step recovery room facility. And it was okay. I opened the big book and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? So I looked at the copyright date very first. And that said it all for me, the copyright. So, you know, in the first 164 GOD capital is mentioned 281 times. So I wasn't quite sure how I was going to get through it. But I did. I did a lot of research, you know, I went online, discovered podcasts, AA Agnostica and all that. And I just figured out how it was going to work for me. So most of all, I knew I didn't want to drink because I was going to lose my family. And that felt devastating to me. You know, I was going through a divorce at the time. I had already lost my husband. I had lost the home of my dreams. And now I was going to lose whatever I had left. So I was desperate to not drink, but I didn't know how not to drink. So I sat and I listened and I took what I could and I left the rest. And I watched how all these women were so happy and they were smiling, and, you know, they could laugh at themselves. They could laugh at the stories they told about their drinking. One story that I think is especially devastating to me is my youngest daughter was still in the house when my drinking really started to pick up. And I remember coming home after drinking on several occasions and falling asleep on the toilet. And she and my husband were just devastated, you know, but I could not make myself move and do anything different. So looking back, that was a point where I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what to do. So I kept coming back to meetings, listening. I didn't want to share at first because I was shy, you know, and I didn't want to expose myself. I wasn't ready. But the more I kept coming back, the more you accepted me for who I was, the more I realized that, you know, there might be a little bit of hope here. And I might just be okay. So I got involved in service work at the recommendation of my sponsor. She said, you're going to wash the coffee cups. At that time, it was a club and we had real live coffee cups. And you're going to do that after the meetings. And so I did, you know, I hung around and I developed friendships, and that was really good for me. So maybe skipping up to what it's like now. Thank you. You know, the good thing that came out of the worldwide shutdown was online meetings. And I'm super, super grateful for that. I, of course, noticed all of these secular online meetings. There isn't one in my particular area. So again, I discovered that there's hope. That there's hope in my recovery. There's hope that I can connect with people who are just like me. And it's worldwide. It's not just my own little community that I realize that there are people that drank like I did and people that had the same adversities that I had, but it's worldwide. And what a discovery that was. Today, I have no desire to drink. I really don't. As some of you may know, I have breast cancer. I'm currently going through radiation. And I'm doing it gracefully. I'm going through all of this with the hope of coming out on the other side, you know, cancer-free. So far, it's looking that way. But what recovery has given to me is the ability to handle life on life's terms with grace and dignity. And that's what I noticed with a lot of the women, especially, that they were able to handle their lives and go through their traumas gracefully. And that's what I'm doing. And first and foremost, it makes me have the self-esteem and the courage that I never really had before. And I think part of that comes from the brain fog lifting, from my brain healing. You know, I'm not in the science field at all, but I truly believe in the science behind recovery. And I think that's been helpful. I believe everything happens at the right time for the right reason. I'm in recovery. I'm almost 7 years out. I have breast cancer. That is the grace that recovery has given me, is allowing me to go through this without the desire to drink, because I truly don't want to do that. I know what would happen. I would lose my self-esteem. I would lose my dignity. I would lose my children, you know? And I don't want to do that today. I spent the other day with my granddaughter outside on the lawn for an hour. She was going into my purse, taking out my sunglasses, taking out everything in there. And you know, there would have been a point where I would have been like, no, don't touch my sunglasses. You're going to get them all fingerprints. Don't do that. Today, I take it 1 minute at a time some days. And I know that that's where I need to be. I was pushing her in the swing one day, and I was contemplating retirement, not going back to work. And I was pushing her in the swing, and I had this overwhelming sense of calm that came over me. And I said to myself, this is where I need to be. I have goosebumps now just to think about it. I wouldn't have that if I were still drinking, because I wouldn't be allowed to be with her, you know? And why would I risk that? Why would I risk the idea of not being able to develop a relationship with them? She cries when I leave for the day, you know, and that is so warming. So I've gained a lot in recovery. I think the most I've gained is self-esteem, peace and serenity. There's some days I don't always have that, and I back it up, you know. One thing that I have in my toolbox is a tapping meditation app, and I do like to visit that in the morning when I do my readings, and at night to help me, you know, fall asleep peacefully. So some days I can't lock my toolbox because I feel like I have so many items in there. But they're all good tools to use, and I grab them as I need them. So that might be all I have to share. I think if you're new, my message would be, if you're here, it's for a reason. And everything happens for a reason at the right time in my mind. And hope was the biggest thing that I got out of recovery. The hope that I didn't have to drink. So Elise, I think that might be all I have to share at this point.